Tonight, I'd like to discuss all the controversial questions that come up at the Seder. In case you don't have what to talk about with the Torah at the Haggadah, this now we'll have what to discuss. Some of the controversial questions that come up at every Seder in every religious home. The first question is, even before the Seder starts, is what matzah to use? Machine matzah versus hand matzah. Very big controversy. It's not much of a question. Look at the price. You see what more people want. It's a simple supply and demand. Obviously, more people want hand matzah versus machine matzah. But the questions I wanted just to touch upon a little bit this evening, understanding a little bit of the element of the question of hand matzah versus machine matzah. Just a little bit of on a historical note. The first time a machine matzah came out was in the year 1838 in France. It was when they were doing on a small, very low-scale procedure. And no one really knew about it, no one really tumbled about it, it didn't get much coverage. Then with picked up a little bit in Krakow in 1857, then already it started to become more controversial, then it moved over to Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim in 1863, and finally in 1906 was when Reb Shmuel Salant made a psak that it's kosher. They're allowed to use machine matzahs. Now through all this whole time in history, there was big debates amongst various people about the halachic status of the machine matzahs. Now the truth is, whatever those gedolim wrote in the late 1800s, most of it has very little, is not really negated to today. Most of their concerns of the machine matzah of the late 1800s will not be the concern of the machine matzahs of today. If anything, the machine matzahs today are so perfected, they might even be preferred over hand matzahs because there's such a small chance of chametz, it might be much better than hand. But let's see a little bit, just some of the sources so we know who said what with this debate. If you look over here, number one, this is a Sefer Kovetz Halachas. He does us a favor, he just quotes us the major opinions in the sugya. He writes over here, Benidan matzah mechuna, with regard to the question of machine matzah, harichu achreinim harbe. Halalu aisurim, v'halalu matirim, right? Like any good shaili, you have both people on who's on which side. So v'ha aisurim heim, Reb Shloimeh Kluger, he was one of the big ones, the Chedushei Rim, the Avnei Nezer, and the Divrei Chaim, Sanze Rebbe, they were all adamantly against machine matzahs. Umeidach Gisa, and then the other side of the debate, Rabbi Hamatir. There are plenty of very chashuv rabbanim at that time in history that were okay with the machine matzahs. And they were the Shalom Eshev, the Ksav Sofer, the Aruch Lener, and the Tveris Yisrael. So, throughout history, this has been an old debate amongst Gedolei Achreinim of the pros and cons, so to say, of the machine matzah. One of the major elements or issues that they had with the machine matzah was chametz. You can't control the machines, and the machines get hot, and they heat up the pieces, and pieces get stuck in there, and all these concerns of chametz, which today is hard to believe, because the way the machines are done today are so perfect, everything shuts down after 18 minutes, and they clean itself. So that's very, very hard to believe that the issue today is still going to be an issue of chametz. So what is the big issue today that people have with the machine matzah? There's an issue of lishma. There's a din that matzah needs to be lishma, and the question is, can you put lishma into pushing a button? Can you inject lishma into the asiyas matzah, even though you're not touching the matzah? You're not even working the matzah at all. You're pushing a button, and that's what's making the matzah go. Now, the truth is, this is not a new shayla. Whenever they came out with, they wanted to make tzitzis through machines, or anything else that needs lishma, it's the same shayla. But by matzah, this is where the issue really lies. Can we circumvent the issue of lishma by pushing a button? Or lishma can only be done by hands on the dough. You have to be working it with a human being. That was really the big question amongst the Achreinim. Halacha lemaisa, the most recent of the Achreinim, for example, the Chazunish and the Stipler, and that family, they were adamant against using machine matzah. They held you are not yoytze machine matzah, even b'dievet. They held under no circumstance can a person be yoytze, and this is based on the ruling of the Chazunish, that you can't have lishma. So someone asked Chaim Kanevsky, there's a bit of a contradiction. Chazanish holds you can make tzitzis with a machine. Tzitzis also needs lishma. So why can you make tzitzis with lishma and you can't make matzah with lishma? So Chaim Kanevsky tries to answer up why the Chazanish held this way. But that's widely the accepted opinion in the Kanevsky family. They do not hold whatsoever of machine matzahs, even b'dievet. Which is interesting because the Stipler wrote a sefer where he writes all the measurements for halacha. And when he talks about machine matzah, he writes, how much machine matzah do you need to eat? So everyone says, you see the Stipler endorses machine matzah. So the Stipler said, I never endorsed anything. I'm telling you what the amount is. I'm not telling you you're allowed to eat it. I'm not telling you it's matzah with it. But if you eat it on a regular Tuesday, and you're not Sfardi and you're Ashkenazi, so you have to know how much you're going to bench on it. But never did the Stipler really endorse the idea of using a machine matzah. They also quote in the opinion of the Chofetz Chaim. Now, the Chofetz Chaim also held, you're not allowed to use machine matzah for the night of the Seder. However, on the flip side, there were plenty of Achreinim, even up till today, that held that machine matzah is 100% allowed. It's just interesting, if you look at number two, there's an interesting tshuva from Ephraim Greenblatt. He talks about the shayla, let's say you want to mix the two. You want to have a half a kazayas of machine with a half a kazayas of hand. You want to be yotz all the shittas. Can you do that? And he writes, HaMitzvah shel achilas kazayas matzah yesh lecha levad b'li dova machal achar. An interesting halacha. You can't eat matzah with anything else. You can't have matzah, you want to make it taste more enjoyable, so you'll put something else with it. You'll put food with it. You're not allowed to do that. It has to be eaten separately. You can't put coleslaw there, putting aside gibrox. You can't eat anything with your matzah. So he writes, V'yesh im kein lizoyer, shelo yechol matzah mechuno, im ha-kazayis matzah shel avodas yad. So you can't mix machine matzah and ham matzah. Why? Given the yeshayim she'en yoytz deichavasa v'matzah mechuno, because if you're machmer for the opinion that holds you're not allowed to use machine matzah, so by putting machine matzah in with your hand matzah, you're mixing in a foreign food into the matzah. V'imkein matzah sa mechuno tevatos ta matzah shal yad. It's going to be mevatel the taste. So you wouldn't be allowed to mix the two. So if you want to be machmir, that you hold the machine matzah is not allowed, you can't mix it together with your hand matzah. So writes of Ephraim Greenblatt. So in Or Yitzchok, Yitzchok Abadi was asked the following question. Are you allowed to use machine matzah? So listen to what he writes. He writes, Bavadai. No question. Rabbi Abadi is of the opinion you could for sure, without a doubt, use machine matzah. And he writes, V'yadua hasib b'shal again Rebbe Zalman Meltzer. And everyone knows the famous story of Rebbe Zalman Meltzer. Shepam aviyu le matzah yad shenefu b'erev Pesach. They once brought him hand matzah that was back then at Pesach, which sells for a lot of money. That's what we call Erev Pesach matzahs, which again, people associate with chesidish and minog. It's really a mechaber and shulchan aruch, brought down by Rishonim, one of them Rashi. The reason why it's a chesidish and minog is because the mechaber says, Yesh noigim. The Chofetz Chaim says, Mr. Bruce says, no one's knowing that, but the Chassidim are still knowing it. But the concept of Erev Pesach Matzah is not a Chassidish thing. It's brought down in many Rishonim. So he writes, what was the story? That he'd rather eat his machine matzah, shekach hayu noigim choshan. That's what he did every year. And they write there, Baron Kotler, who married the daughter of Rabbi Zalman, Rabbi Aaron would eat hand, and his Rebbe would eat machine. Every year Pesach, because she followed her family minog. She grew up by Rabbi Zalman, that was her father. Rabbi Zalman ate machine, so she ate machine. Her husband, Rabbi Aaron, he ate hand. So they used to have different matzahs. So clearly there were people that had a Kabbalah, so to say, to specifically use machine matzah. In another piece he writes, Ein hevdel be matzah mechuna avodas yad. There's no difference between machine and hand. Ushneim hudarim lechatchila. They are both completely allowed lechatchila. So there are definitely achrayim that held there's no problem with using machine matzah. And then lefizah you can mix it. It's grad in a year. Someone called me up this week that they had dental work done, and it would be very hard for them to chew the matzah. So what do you do? So the Shulchan Aruch writes, if it's hard for someone to chew the matzah, what they should really do is crumple it up. First they should crumple it up, make it into smaller pieces. If that's not possible, they can soak it in some form of water, but not too much. So the question I was thinking, maybe for this person, it's better to use machine matzah. Machine matzah is a little easier on the teeth, I think, depending on where you get it from. So maybe for a person who's a chayla, instead of crumpling it up, and instead of putting it into water, which is a whole shayla, how much water can you put it in? And if you could put it into other liquids, maybe just forget all of it. Just use machine. So I think that's a very strong option if you hold like these achrayim that hold your mamash yoytze lechatchila. So if you yoytze lechatchila with machine kol shekein yoytze b'shasat chak for a chayla. So I wonder if that's something someone should take into consideration, that they can eat more machine, or they can maybe even enjoy it if it's machine, versus hand that they have trouble or other ailments. So maybe that's something they should consider. Maybe it's kedai to use machine versus hand. I heard from a friend of mine. He told me a story about my Rosh Hashiva, Bzalag Epstein, when he was 1 year filing his taxes. So his accountant said, do you have anything else you can use as a, you know, tax deduction? So he said, I don't know. He said, Rabbi, let me ask you, what do you use for matzah every year? So he said, I use hand. He said, that's a tax deduction. He says, why? He says, because if your students would find that you're a big rabbi, you're a Rosh Yeshiva, you use machine, you'd lose your job. So it's a tax deduction. Every rabbi has to use hand. Okay? He didn't agree to the cheshbon, but that was the accountant's cheshbon, that every rabbi, a Rosh Yeshiva, has to have that type of matzah. But it's not necessarily agreed upon by all contemporary paiskim. If you look at number four, again, obviously we all know in the chassidish circles they're extremely makpid on only using hand matzah. They won't even use machine matzah. However, I didn't quote it, but Nita Gavrili quotes from the Klausenberger Rebbe. The Klausenberger Rebbe said, even the Divrei Chaim, who is one of the strongest machmirim on machine matzah, even the Divrei Chaim would tell you that if you had machine matzah, she'avar alav HaPesach, you're allowed to eat it after Pesach. Even the Devi Chaim, who wrote strong wording about what he held about, again, in those years, in the late 1800s, we're not talking about today, even he would agree it's not a problem of Chama Shavah al-Pasuk. That's what he writes. But over here, this is a sefer for the Lubavitcher, from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, he writes, they asked him, what about giving kids Mishim Matzah, can you give it to kids? So Murdik a line, he writes like this, B'negei l'shruya ishah hidurim, when it comes to Gebrok, Zerah v'chumras, Yechayim l'hakel, you can be Mekla for kids. Avol loy b'negei l'matzah shalmuchuna, but not when it comes to Mishim Matzah. Why, Dr. Rebbe? Ki Matzah and Yonei Emuna, because the whole idea of Matzah is Emuna. V'tzrichim l'avoyed al zeh kvar mikatnus, and they have to get that ready from a small age, and the Rebbe says, you can't get Emuna from a Mishim Matzah. As I said, that's what he said. So Lubavitchers are also very makbid. They don't even give it to the children, Mishimat. So they hold it's not, this is not what we mean in the Chazal when we talk about the Chashivas of eating matzah. This is not included. They quote from the Chazon Ish that he says it's not called Lechem Oini. Not sure what he means by that. Why is it not Lechem Oini? But the Chazon Ish also felt that this is not the right thing for us to be eating as Mishimatzes. If you look over here, number 5 from Rabbi Forsheimer, who's a very popular Pesach in Lakewood, who may also add is a Yakisha, which changes his approach, whereas the Yekis are Makbeti Davka Mishimatz. So he writes over here, look in the Dvar Avram. If you look in the Dvar Avram, the Kovner Rav, he makes an argument that he really thinks the Masa Klolish Odover HaMechunes Halolu Kama V'Kama Milos Tovis Hein. The machines have a lot of things working for them. A lot of reasons to use Mishimatz, which is why many Yekis today talk and use Mishimatz over Handmatz. So there's definitely a disagreement amongst Paiskim starting from the 1800s up till today, what's the preferred version? So on the bottom, he quotes from Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky, who says, "V'omam mayiv Reb Shlita," referring to Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky. He says like this: "Diladina kaimel the matzah mechunik sheir lagamri lemitzas achilas matzah belarish and the Pesach." He holds no question. You definitely could be yoytze mishim matzah. Person stuck and all he has is mishim matzah. It's better, of course, he should eat mishim matzah. And he'll make the bracha and he'll be yoytze mitzvah derais. He just says, "V'gam mishim in hogal loylechol matzah mechuna." Let's say you're minig. You always grew up. You never ate mishim matzah. You can still eat mishim matzah. You can switch over. For all those who haven't yet bought their hand matzah, you can switch over. Even though for the last 35 years you only used hand, according to him, you can switch over. You don't even have to be matanedder. You don't even have to slap a bezdin down and tell 3 people that if I would have known how expensive hand matzah was, I would have never taken this chumrah. You don't have to do it. Just go out now and buy mishim matzah. So he quotes, so is the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel Kamenetsky. And he writes, that's true. If you open up Halicha Shleima, Shlomo Zalman writes like that explicitly. Shlomo Zalman writes, l'chatchila, today, without a problem, you can use mishim matzah. Now, if you look just very quickly in number 6, where it's referring to Shlomo Zalman's own personal hanhaga, he writes that, that Rabbi Shlomo Zalman himself would not eat machine the first night, but after that, for not Leil HaSeder, he'd use regular machine matzah. Even his later years when it was predominantly eating hand, so Shlomo Zalman held, after the first night, it's not even in question that you have no problem using Mishim Matzah. And that was also the opinion of Rabbi Avadya Yosef and Yechav Adas. He holds this whole discussion is only maybe for the first night or the 2 nights in America where you're worried about Lashma. But after that, you don't need Lashma. After that, it's a Shaila of Chametz. It's not Chametz. If you want, when you go on your Cholamay trip, you want to use Mishim Matzah, it's not a problem. Then he concludes. He says, "But ukahayim sheyesh na matzahs mahaduros heid mafias yad vehe mafias mechuna." Today you have mamish good matzahs, reliable hachshirim coming from both places. Hayir rabbeinu sharoitz l'shanas minhage mimatzah yad lemechuna tzarich lahatan nedre. Now today he thinks you do have to be matened. This is Rabbi Shlomo Zalman talking about, obviously when he lived. Then on the bottom he writes another interesting thing about Rabbi Shlomo Zalman. Ubizman shehoyis mafias matzah mechuna mahuderos yaser. There was a time in Eretz Yisrael where the machine matzahs were more reliable than the hand matzah, believe it or not. And Rabbi Shlomo Zalman during those years switched over. During those years, he taka used machine matzah because they were more reliable. So clearly he wasn't all that concerned over the issue of lishma. If you look at number 4b in Harei Kedem, Rabbi Soloveitchik also seemed to have hold this opinion that he felt it's not a problem of lishma with the machine. And he says with a more of a lomdish spin over here, Kedarki HaKadosh, Rabbi Soloveitchik says in number 4b on the left, he says, Ava matzah mitzar atzma imba din asir klal. So then you have to make matzah. You have to have matzah, and you can't create yesh me'ayin, so obviously you have to sit there and make matzah the normal way. He's coming to explain a different kasha. Why do you know shachyona when you make it? Just like when you put up a sukkah, maybe. So he writes, There's no din who has to make the matzah. The machine can't make them. No one has to make the matzah. The matzah has to exist. Obviously, you can't have matzah unless someone makes it. But there's no maisa asiya. Aye, what about the taina of lishma? So you'll watch the machine. The guy who pushes the button, he's doing that. He's guarding it to make sure it doesn't go over the time limit, and that's lishma. Instead of salvation, we're not concerned the fact that no human being is touching the dough. That doesn't bother us. We don't care. All we care about is that it's nishmar, it's watched from becoming chametz, and that's being done by a Jew. The Jew happens to be doing it instead of touching the dough, he's doing it by pushing buttons. So if salvation held, that's okay. So that's some of the issues with Mishim Matz.
Does anyone know what he himself did?
I couldn't find anything. I looked around to see if I couldn't find any literature what he himself did personally. He had a different chum. He was makben not to eat brooks on the first night of Pesach based on a grah. Even though normally literature people eat brooks, Salvechik was machmer based on the said in the grah that he wouldn't eat brooks. That was the best I could find.
The grah, I think, used to use it on machine matzah. Even though I didn't think they had it.
Yeah, he didn't really have much machine matzah in his days. Right? They could have done
it on a local rut.
You have to know when every machine first started. You know, to my history, the first machine matzah came out in 1838. But it could be there was private, you know. It was really the time when machines were coming out throughout the whole world. But in any case, that was his opinion. That's always the tricky thing. We find all these coolers for the second night, yet we always say, well, the rabbanim make it like a deraisa, so how does that work? So I think most people are machmer for most chumers will try to keep it the second night as well. Reb Chaim Kanievsky disagrees with all that we said now. He holds that if a person, again, this is Chaim Kanievsky Lishitasai being raised as a Kanievsky where they're very against Mishim Matzah. He says if someone switches over to Mishim Matzah, Itak has to make Hataras Nadar. So if a person is going to switch over, that's something they should keep in mind with regard to Hataras Nadar. Okay, so that's all with regard to Matzah. So now you know which Matzah to buy. So let's talk about wine a little bit. So which wine are you supposed to buy? Now, these conversations don't happen at the Seder because you already have them. So we'll have to have these conversations first. What wine to buy? So we've spoken in the past about wine versus grape juice, a big discussion. Rav Moshe has a famous tshuva where he holds grape juice is not really preferred because he holds it an element of alcoholic capability that should be there. And therefore, Rav Moshe held you shouldn't use grape juice. Other Achraim disagree. I just saw a tshuva from the Minchas Asher. Rav Moshe Weiss takes issue with this tshuva from Rav Moshe and he passes grape juice is allowed. The contemporary Paiskim suggests if someone doesn't have any issues or any medical reasons why they can't have alcohol, so let them take alcohol. I'll tell me what about the content of the alcohol, so we'll see in a few minutes an interesting idea from Rabbi Belsky about the content of the alcohol. But what about sweetened wine? So when we learned the sugya of Kiddush here together, we spoke about using sweetened wine. So there's a big machloikis rishonim about using A, sweetened wine, and B, using mevushel wine. So we mentioned over there that it was machloikis rishonim about whether or not you're allowed to use yayim mevushel for Kiddush, and whether or not you use sweetened wine. The Rambam was of the opinion you're not allowed to use either of those two for Kiddush, and if Salvechik was machma, he wouldn't use any sweetened wine, nor would he use mevushel for Kiddush. The question is, what about dal kaisis? So everyone knows the first cup of the dal kaisis is Kiddush. Okay, what about the other kaisis? So it's interesting, in Shulchan Aruch, by Hilchas Kiddush, it has two shitas. Can you use mevushel, can't use mevushel? When it comes to Hilchas Pesach, it just writes clearly, you can use mevushel. What happened to the machlokes? Why is there no discussion? So Salvechik makes his point, and he says, you see from here, it's based on Yerushalmi, that the rules for Dal Kaisis are different than the rules for Kiddush, for whatever reason it is. But now, if Salvechik claims more of a lom de shashayla, he writes over in number 8, Nefesh Rav, he says like this, what happens in a case where someone's making Kiddush, but you're going to drink your own cup? So he says like this, let's say the Mekadish, the guy making Kiddush, he has a non-mevushel drink, and he has a non-sugar wine. But everyone else is going to be yaitzeh with his Kiddush, and they'll drink their own respective cup. Right? There's a funny minig in Klal Yisrael that although the rest of the year, we have no problem having the Baal HaBayis make Kiddush for the whole family, when it comes to Pesach, there's a minig that everyone makes their own Kiddush. Why exactly, it's not clear, maybe added to the list of things the kids are supposed to ask about. I don't know. But that's a minute. So if Salvation says, what happens if the first Kiddush was just Kiddush? Then the father makes Kiddush on his non-sweetened, non-mevushel wine, and then everyone at the table drinks their own cup. Would that be a halachic problem? So he says, So Kledim Salvation Yesh Lodim. Would this be a breach in the Rambam? The Rambam that says for Kiddush you have to use non-sweetened and non-mevushel. So for the participants at the table, the cup that they're drinking, does it go after their own individual cup? Is the cup that they're drinking a cup of Kiddush? Or the cup that they're drinking is a cup of Dal Kaisis? Which means it doesn't have to have the same chumrah as Kiddush and they could drink mevushel or sweetened wine. That was the shadow of salvation. Added it sugar. It tastes... Yeah, it does not taste very good. People that are diabetic have to be careful with what they intake. Yeah, non-sweetened wine is not very pleasant to taste. Most of us don't like it. So Salvation writes at the end, he's noted to the second side. He thinks that it could be that, you look at the other side, that what, since each kari says the din of Kiddush, therefore it's like you're doing your own Kiddush, and therefore you have to be mach. That was of Salvechik's chakira about Kiddush. I think most people...
It's a minhag that everybody makes their own Kiddush?
I think that's a minhag. It's not really brought down anywhere. That, again, depending on what you do, a whole Shabbos. Every Friday night, if you have many people at the table, that's a machloikis achreinim. Does one person make Kiddush for everyone, or does each person make their own Kiddush? Some achreinim held, one makes for everyone based on a premise of bereivam hadras melech. Others say, no, everyone should do their own because mitzvah by yoytzeh b'bishluchei. I should do my own mitzvah. I think others suggest that when you're being yoytzeh with other people, you actually have to listen to what they're saying. Kids don't listen to anything their parents have to say. So if dad makes kiddush, you know the son's not listening, so he can't be yoytzeh with shemei kainim. So that's why he makes his own kiddush. So it's different than hagim. But by Leil Pesach, nothing should change. Whatever you hold on Shabbos is what you should hold on Pesach. Why it changes is unclear.
Like a regular kiddush by regular yoytzeh with Shabbos, I don't even have to have the wine be yoytzeh. But here I have the obligation.
Right, here there's a separate element. Well, someone has to drink the cup. When you're making kiddush, someone at least has to drink revias. Either you or the people around the table. For dalal kareis, you have to drink your own amount. So, if
you need a sweetener, you shouldn't have sweetener.
Yeah.
That's
based on Daimit and Mizbech, different drushes that we have about what makes something real yayin. Sugi and Baba Basra about what's the requirement of yayin for kiddush is really what was allowed or not allowed with regard to Nisuch Hagabi and Mizbech. That's what is, right, at least for Kiddush. When it comes to the other dalal kareis, it seems to be much more lenient in Shulchan Aruch.
So,
right. So for Shabbos, we seem to be more strict. There are plenty of people that don't use Mavushal for Shabbos because the Shulchan Aruch has two opinions. If you can, you can. Many people say, well, I don't have an option. I have cleaning help, I have Goyim, I don't want to take a chance. So that's a Shaila. Many people have this idea that they don't want to use the low-level alcohol in their wine. They feel like, you know, for night of Seder, they have to find 11% alcohol to be Yetzer, you know, drinking alcohol. If not, you're being Yetzer, you know, you're going against Ramosha's wine. So Rebelski has a fascinating piece over here, where I found Ibsham Azama says the same thing. He says it's not true. He says, I'll prove it to you. He writes over number 9, he says, he says, what does it mean to dilute? If you go through Avi Psachim, you go through Shulchan Aruch, they keep on talking about diluting. What does that mean to dilute? So what's the ratio, said Rabbi Belsky? It's a 1-3 ratio. He writes, 40% alcohol. He makes the a scientific analysis over here that you can't have 28% alcohol in a wine. It's not possible. Unless maybe today they can do things with chemicals. I don't know. But he says the strongest wine was in the times of the Gemara was 13%, 14%. That was the strongest the wine was. So he says you're doing Meziga on that. So he writes, what happened? Harila Acha Meziga, year 3.5 alcohol. So what was their wine like after? It was Kal, what we call today, Rashi Kal, 3.5. So everyone's so up in arm about drinking this Kal. What do you mean? What are you so upset about? In the times of the Gemara, they had no problem drinking 3.5% alcohol. We just think that they were drinking, 28% alcohol. They weren't. They were drinking 3.5. So he therefore thinks that it really should be okay to drink a lower content of alcohol. Now,
that
you're allowed to do. No one ever said you can't do it because it loses the shem yayin, as long as you keep in the ratio. Now, obviously, I wouldn't suggest doing this to the kedem wines that are already diluted as it is. Don't add more water to them, because then it might lose the shem yayin. But he points this out, and Shem Zalman makes the same point, that we have this idea that the wine that we drink has to be this extreme wine that, you know, we got knocked out from it. Doesn't have to be. Now, there are those achrenim who say no. If you're going like Rav Moshe, if a person normally drinks, you know, scotch and bourbon, and you're giving him 3.5 alcohol, it's a joke. It means nothing to him. It's fruit juice. So it's not being Mekayim, the element that Rav Moshe holds it needs to be Mekayim. Okay, I think one can make the argument, but I don't think people are
Mekayim. Reverse of
bourbon. Right. I mean, a person with a high threshold for alcohol, chances are if he drinks a reverse of 3.5% alcohol, it's not going to do much to him. He'll have no problem driving a car, whether or not he's allowed to legally or not is a different question, but I don't think it's going to have an effect on him. But it could be, it's not true. Even lower level alcohol still affects a person, whether or not it's as much as when he drinks something stronger. So then many achrenim suggest you don't have to go out and buy the 11% alcohol. Even if you buy the 3.5% alcohol, that's still going to be okay. So okay, so now we know what matzah to buy, what wine to buy. Now the milah of the big bottles happen to be the non-bevushal one, which is sometimes easier for Pesach when you're trying to, you don't want to have to buy the small bottles and go through 15 of them, so you buy the big ones. Just keep that in mind, the big bottles have A, the mile that they're big, and B, they're non-mavushal. So according to those sheetas that you need non-mavushal, you have that mile as well. Just remember, after you finish, if you don't finish the whole bottle, just be careful when you put it back into the fridge with whoever you're going to have come into your house. Okay, so that's all with regard...
That's complicated.
We'll leave. No, I definitely don't want to get into... I'm getting too controversial already as it is.
Telling people.
Yeah. From one lawyer to another, we'll leave it at that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can, yeah. We're going to get to that. We're going to talk about it. Someone told me what he does. The Lel Pesach, he sips a coffee during Maggid. Maggid's slow. You know, the kids have a lot to say. He's sipping his coffee, keeps him awake, gives him energy. Is that allowed? Billy Ned, we're going to talk about that today at some point. Is that allowed? If you're allowed to drink during the Seder, definitely would keep things more interesting. But just let's talk about something which bothers me a little bit about Klal Yisrael, is the time we start the Seder. Shulchan Aruch writes very clearly, number 10, Yer Shulchani Oruch B'Boidrem. A person's table should be set during daytime. So most Paiskim learn this doesn't mean you have to set the table Erev Pesach. It just means by the time you come home from shul, the table should be set. The Aruch HaShulchan says no. Imamish means set the table Erev Yom Tov. Why? Because that's Cheres. Someone who's having a royal banquet, they don't just set the table 5 minutes before people come. They set the table hours in advance, therefore the table's already set, so you should dafka set the table on Erev Yom Tov. Why? So you should eat right away when it gets dark. Even if the guy's busy learning, you have to start right away. There's this big emphasis on not wasting time. Many people have a problem with this mitzvah. They don't know how not to waste time. So here we have to make sure not to waste too much time. Everything's got to keep moving. But as much as we want to start the Seder early, there's one thing you can't do. You can't start Kaddish until Techshach. What's Techshach? So Pashtus means Seisek Echav. Why can't you start the Seder? So if you look in Taisus and Pesachim, Taisus says, it's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says that Arvei Pesachim, Samach, L'mincha, L'yech, L'ach, Techshach. Now let's eat till it gets dark. Frank Taisus, why not? What happened to Taisus Shabbos and Yom Tov? We do it all the time. This time of the year, many people make Taisus Shabbos. Right? Why can't I make Pesach early? Bring in Pesach at 6 o'clock, keep the kids up till 8 o'clock, and then the Seder at 9 o'clock.
I mean, it's a dinner of the day. That's why it's not
the What's the dinner of the day?
It's the 15th. It's not the 15th.
It's also Shabbos. Right. Wow. It's the same thing with anything. No. Anytime we do Taisus Yom Tov, right? That's the old Chakira.
Here it's a date issue, not a Shabbos.
What's
you're
a date?
In Shabbos, a date of the 15th.
Right.
It's not the 15th in Tosha.
So that's okay. So let's see. So Taisus answers that there's a drasha because by matzah we need to wait till Techshach because it says that Pesach, Matzah, Maror are all need to be eaten after it gets dark. Why? Because it says in the pasuk V'achu es habasa b'layla hazeh. It says that the Karban Pesach was clearly eaten at Seisek Echavim. And we know Matzah Umarer is Kishle Pesach. And Matzah Umarer have the same rules. So what do you know? You can't eat the Matzah and you can't eat the Umarer till Seisek Echavim. Fine. I can get a lot done before that. I can do the whole Maggid during that time. Taisus doesn't address the bigger problem. Taisus just says why you can't eat the Matzah and why you can't eat the Umarer. Taisus is telling us a drasha that there's a hekesh between the eating of the Karban Pesach and the eating of the Matzah. This is where, what I mentioned earlier, the minhag of Erev Pesach and Matzah has come from. Many people hold the same way the Karban Pesach was first brought on Erev Pesach after Chatzos, so that's the earliest time you can start to bake matzahs, because of this hekesh. Now, that's a jump, because that's not brought down anywhere. Here, Taisus is quoting a Tesefta. To compare the baking of the matzahs to the bringing of the Karban Pesach, that's seemingly a made-up drasha, which is why many people don't hold of it. But this doesn't answer our question. Why can't I still make early Pesach, have Kaddish, Urchatz, Karpas, go through the whole Seder, and I'll stop by Maitzi Matzah. I'll wait, and then I'll wait till Tzeisek Echav. So in the Paiskim, they bring two reasons. If you look at number 12, the Taz says a totally different reason. He says the reason why you have to wait for Kaddish till Tzeis is because Kiddish B'Makom Suda. Because how can you make Kiddish at 6 o'clock, and you're not allowed to eat until Tzeisek Echav, which is about 8:30? So it's not Kiddush B'Makom Suda. You're having a break between 2.5 hours. It's a problem of Kiddush B'Makom Suda. Now, I would add to one of the Manashtana questions, is why all of a sudden the Lel Pesach is no one makban on Kiddush B'Makom Suda. So the way I find, so we make Kiddush later. So we make Kiddush at 8:30, and when do we get to Maitzi Matzah in most homes? At 10:30. You have the same problem. Why is no one concerned about Kiddush B'Makom Suda Lel Pesach? That's a question that many Achrenim are troubled with. Why is there no concern of Kiddush B'Makom Suda? So it's on the page, we don't have a chance to get to it. Shem Zalman answers, this is all part of the Suda. It's one long Suda. Although there's no food at this part of the Suda, this is one Hemshich of the Suda. That's the answer that he gives. But according to the Taz, it's a Kiddush problem. You can't make Kiddush before it says Gechavim, because Kiddush needs to be at a time when you're able to eat, so it has to be at Tzeis Gechavim. Now, there's nothing about Ma'ariv here. You can start Ma'ariv any time you want. So let's say, for example, you want to call Ma'ariv for half an hour before it says the Gechavim, plus the fact that many shuls say Halal Lel Pesach, and they always put up that guy who loves to sing every song. So by the time you're done with Ma'ariv Halal, say good Yom Tov to the Rav, walk home, it's now half an hour after it says the Gechavim. What are you waiting for? I don't understand. So I have a better idea. Let's start Ma'ariv earlier, say Halal earlier, and this way we're home Mamish at Sezik Chavim. Now, when I say home, you know, this is what I told my family. Hold means the kiddush is in our hand, it's already filled. Now we're first deciding, well, which one do I want to use? Which pillow do I want to use? Where do I want to sit? Which haggadah I'm going to use? That's a big one. Which haggadah am I going to use? Talmidim asked me this week, which haggadah do I use? Like, it makes a difference which haggadah I use. I told him I use Maxwell House haggadah. I said, what's happens? It's because the forces between Mechadish Torah. If I get Haggadah from, and on my Eitzah Chacham, I put in the word Haggadah. Thousands and thousands of Haggadahs popped in. Thousands. This is just the ones in Hebrew. Forget the ones in English. So I said, if I use a Maxwell House Haggadah, I'm forced to be Mechadish some form of Torah. I can't just repeat the words. But if I use the Haggadah of someone, then I'm saying over his Torah. I'd rather be forced to be Mechadish Torah. But if we would be ready, Mamash at Sezik Chacham, 8:30, it means the Becher is full. Everyone's ready to go. We save a lot of time. And this way the kids are actually up. Because the other way we do it, by the time we get started the Seder, it's like 9:15. Again, the second night we're stuck. No brainer. You don't tell the kids that there's two start. Tell them there's only one. They don't know the difference. But the second night, okay, I hear you're stuck. The first night, why? I don't understand. The only thing I can think of, it is a machloikis achroinim, the halal in shul, on Leil Pesach, for those who daven as svard, can that be done before nightfall? That's a machloikis achroinim. Rebbe Vadya Sefer Yechaveh Das quotes those that say it has to be done only dafka after Tzeizik Chavim, which is totally in why we say the Hal in the first place, which we might be talking about this Sunday, I haven't decided yet. But in any case, many Achrenim say you don't have to wait. So what are we waiting for? We're waiting to daven Ma'ariv after Tzeizik Chavim? We're never machmir to daven Ma'ariv after Tzeizik Chavim. So why all of a sudden tonight? I don't understand it, but that's what people do.
If you're davening a Krishna before Seis,
yeah,
and you don't then get round to finishing till well after Chatzos, do you not have a problem with that?
Yeah, I think the person should finish way before Chatzos. I think the Seder should be over way before Chatzos hits. We'll hopefully get to that. That's part of the controversial part of the Seder, is when it should end as well. Controversy, what to use and when it should be over. But yeah, I think a person, that's probably why they wait, because they're worried about Kriya Shema. Right. But I'm not really sure why we can't say Kriya Shema at some point in the Seder when the Seder is over. We're afraid we'll forget. I understand. But I just think we lose a lot of the kids, which is clearly the idea, by the time we get to the Seder. Just what I want to get to is actually an interesting point over here from the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham quotes the Truma Sadeshan, who says that the reason why we wait for Kiddush is taka because of the Dalet Kaisis. There's a din that the Dalet Kaisis have to be follow the rule of the Karban Pesach, which is, just like the Karban Pesach was only eaten after nightfall, so too the Dalet Kaisis cannot be consumed only after nightfall. Now, if that's the case, you have to go on the backside of that. If so, you shouldn't be allowed to drink the Dalet Kaisis after Chatzos either. Right? This is where things get a little complicated, right? We know that there's machlokes in the Gemara Pesachim. How late was the Karban Pesach allowed to be eaten? Was the Karban Pesach nechal at Chatzos? Or the Karban Pesach was Nechal up till the next morning. This is always the big tumult with Afikoymen, how late you can eat the Afikoymen. Because Afikoymen is compared to the Karban Pesach. But I have a bigger problem. What about the Dalet Kaisis? How many of us drink the last Kais after Chatzos? So if you hold like this, Magen Avraham was quoting the Trumas Hadeshin, that the rules for Dalet Kaisis follow the rules of Matzah, then it should really come out that you have to finish all Dalet Kaisis before Chatzos. Yet, it's funny, that no one's makbid on, but to have Dalet Kaisis before Chatzos, no one will do. A little bit inconsistency in how we do things. But Shmuel Kamenetsky makes this ha'ara. Number 16, he writes, he says he doesn't understand, Sarachian, why is no one makbid to make sure to finish all the Dalet Kaisis? The same way we're makbid not to have it before Tzeis, because it's compared to the Karban Pesach, we should have to follow the same thing about how late you have. Now, it's not such a kasha, because it is a machloikis rishonim, how we paskin. A huge machloikis rishonim, how do we paskin, with how late can you eat the Karban Pesach? Can you eat it only up till Chatzos, or can you eat it till the next morning? The Gra held, even if you hold, you can eat it till the next morning, you're not allowed to eat it after Chatzos, because we put up a geder. To ensure you don't schlep it out, we stopped it already at Chatzos, which means according to the Gra, both opinion hold, you can't eat it after Chatzos. So this is very something that is already a machloikis b'shoinim. So you'll tell me that for Dalet Kaisis will be machmir before, but not machmir afterwards. We'll say that afterwards you can be semech on those b'shoinim that hold, you have a whole light, and therefore you can do. But I think if a person could, he should try to make it his business to try to finish that part of the Seder also before Chatzos. Now the Chag Yaakov quotes a Maril. The Maril says, you know why you can't start the Seder early? It's not the Kaddish, it's the Karpas. Karpas is the problem, since Karpas is really the beginning of the Seder. That's when we start the Seder experience. That needs to be done by Laila, which means Lefizah, another nafkimina lalocha. If let's say you have 12 people making Kiddush, so according to the Chag Yaakov, if you start Kiddush 20 minutes before Tzeizik Chavim, but no one touches the Karpas until after Tzeizik Chavim, you're also okay. So B'dievet, there are Paiskim who write that if a person taka did that, he doesn't have to do it again. He's Yetzir B'dievet.
What? Kiddush has to be after it gets dark.
Yeah. No, not according to him. According to the Chag Yaakov, it's not the Kiddush. It's really the Karpas that we're worried about. It's not Kiddush. It's more the Karpas that they're concerned. Not according to the Chayyak, according to Maril. Because Maril thinks it's not true. Maril brings the Raya against the Trumas Hadeshim, the fact that everyone finishes their Seder late and drinks the fourth cup after Chatzai. So obviously it's not Talal Zeb Zeb. So again, Halacha L'maisa, I think a person should try to start the Seder as quickly as he can. Try to take care of all those things that you could be taken care of before. Obviously when you daven in a shul, you're bound by the shul Zmanim. And you gotta daven whenever they daven, but once we leave the shul, then we're on our own schedule, we should really try to keep things moving so we get the Seder started on time. Let's talk about the Afikoman. That's the other controversial part of the Seder. Those people that have long Sedarim, so they run into a problem of what do you do with the Afikoman? So the Shulchan Aruch writes like this. La'achi gemar kol asuda, after you finish the whole meal, oichel mi matzah hashmura tachas hamap. You're supposed to eat from the matzah that's guarded, that was under a cloth. Many people say from this mechabi, you see, you're not supposed to play all these games with the afikoman. It's supposed to be shmura. It's not supposed to be that some kid's running with it, hoping to get something big out of it from you. You know, we spoke about this in other years, about this whole meaning of stealing the afikoman. Many later achrayim thought it's not a good idea to teach the kids to steal. Grabbing the afikoman, you know, some of these kids start to sit there with their parents, start handling. They all read Trump's book, you know, The Art of the Deal. They're all handling with their parents. What can they get out of their parents for this piece of matzah? Now, I would tell the parents, you could tell the kids, no deal, I'll take a different piece of matzah and eat that for afikoman. And that ruins all of it. Because that's really the halacha. You could take a different piece. Take a different piece. But nonetheless, some bachreinim didn't like to call it the stealing of the afikoman. They like to call it the grabbing of the afikoman, chavitas afikoman. But nonetheless, it sounds like from over here that you're not supposed to do anything. You're supposed to be guarded and protected. You're supposed to know exactly where your afikoman is. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch writes. And what do? Yidik kazayis zeichel lepesach hanechel al hasoiva. It's supposed to be nechel al hasoiva. The Rama writes, if you look at number 18, the Rama says you're not supposed to be full when afikoman rolls around, which is basically impossible for the way our Seder looks. I'm not really sure how you're supposed to do this, but basically the Rama writes, you're not supposed to be full. How many people, when afikoman comes around, they're like, oh, really? Matzah? We just had dessert, we just had the meal, and now afikoman comes around. The Rama writes in Shulchan Aruch, v'lo yachir v'lo yishte arba yoyse midai, don't eat or drink too much, k'day sheloy yachal afikoman al achil gas. So it shouldn't be considered that you're not even hungry. So it's really something that we're not makbid on, but really the whole idea of the afikoman is supposed to be nechal al-seiv. We're supposed to want to eat it. Most of us, by the time we come to afikoman, we're not really interested in eating it. But that's an interesting halacha. Mr. Brewer discusses that if a person eats matzah for afikoman and his mamish has no appetite for it, he might not be yoitza, first of all, because achila gasa lo mikri achila. And secondly, even if he's not achila gasa, it's not ketikunai. He's not fulfilling the mitzvah in the proper way, because he's not really hungry for it. He's force feeding it down himself. It's not nechal al ha-saiva. So that's something we should try to limit when we're talking about, you know, what to eat for dessert. The afikoman is supposed to be the dessert. That's what the word afikoman means. Afikoy is breaking up. You break up the word. It means bring the sweets, bring the dessert. Afikoman is supposed to be the dessert. Yeah, it's hard to sell that in the stores as dessert, but that's what afikoman is supposed to be. So there are more rice, we should be careful. Now, it's pretty clear, the Mechaber ends off. You should be careful to eat it before Chatzais. The Rama adds, Halal also should be before Chatzais. Pretty clear, nothing really to debate over here. Shulchan Aruch writes, Mishnah Berurah explains why, because since it's Machlokes Rishonim, where how late you can eat the Korban Pesach, and Afikoman is compared to the Korban Pesach, so you have to follow that halacha. Let's say a person didn't get to Moitzi Matz until after Chatzais. A real long Seder. He didn't get to Moitzi Matzah until after Chatzos. Is he allowed to make the bracha al achilas matzah? Because since it's Machlokes Rishonim, it could be there's no mitzvah matzah anymore. So the Be'er Halacha passes, he can't make a bracha. Because since it's Machlokes Rishonim, maybe it's no longer this man achilas karm pesach. If it's not this man achilas karm pesach, then you can't eat matzah. So if you can't eat matzah, you can't even make a bracha on it. But you still do it, you just don't make a bracha. Now, if we were to read Shulchan Aruch, we'd say it's Pasha, we should all be makbid on this idea of finishing before Chatzos. In people's minds, it's like one of those things like, yeah, vihizar, like everything else I should be careful on, and no one does it. So the best I could find for the Litvishas that are not Machmir is the Chassam Sefer. He writes in the Minhagi Chassam Sefer, he says over here, number 20, B'seder Leil Chag HaPesach, Herech Al Pi HaRoiv Ad Sho'i Shtayim Acha Chatzos, V'lihikbir Al Achilas Avikayim Kayim Chatzos. The great Chassam Sefer was not Machmir on eating afikoman before Chatzos. So everyone tumbles. So what happened to the Mechaber Shulchan Aruch v'yehizor? So some people make the argument v'yehizor means if you could. Which means if you're just wasting time, that you shouldn't do. But if you're having a good conversation, you're really being marbe, b'sapi yitzis mitzrayim, don't stop because the clock is up against you. Some achrenim say an even more creative way of saying it. They say, one second. Mitzvah sibi yitzis mitzrayim is a mitzvah deraisa. Afikoman is a best of the rabbanon. Eating it before Chatzos is a best of the rabbanon. So why should a deraisa lose out to two derabbanans? Now, the argument back is, I have no problem if you want to be misaper, do it after the Seder. Right? You could be Masabra Kol HaLaila. You think their Seder went Kol HaLaila? No way their Seder didn't go Kol HaLaila. Their Seder ended whatever time it ended. The women went to sleep, the kids went to sleep, and the men stood up, stayed awake, being Marav L'Sabit Zeram. You could do that also. It doesn't have to be Dafka during the Seder. So that's what many people are saying. Mechan. So in the Hasidic communities that split, some yes, some no, about being Makbid, my Sefer that I have about the Sulitzer dynasty. The Sulitzer Rebbe was always Makbid to eat Afikamim before Chatzis. I don't know what Chassidim do today, different communities, but that's what he held. Now, everyone knows that the famous Avnei Nezer is tonight. Now, if you look at the clock and you say to yourself, Chatzis is about 15 minutes, we're still in the middle of Shulchan Aruch, what are we going to do? So we do what's called the Avnei Nezer is tonight. The Avnei Nezer is tonight is basically you eat a Kazaris matzah and you say to yourself, Mamonashach, you make it tonight. If this is really, if we paskin that I have to eat before Chatzis, this is my Afikamim. If I have later, and then this wasn't anything, it was a piece of matzah, and I'll eat it after Chatzis. This is what's known as the Avnei Nezer is tonight. What's the chapter of the Nezer tonight? And the kasha on it is because, one second, on the tzad that you're not allowed to eat after the afikomen, so now you're not allowed to finish the rest of the meal. So it's tiny to Avnei Nezer, and this is what Ramosha didn't like about Avnei Nezer tonight. Tiny to Avnei Nezer, on that tzad that you only have up till chatzos, then the issur of eating after the afikomen ends at chatzos as well. The prohibition of eating after the afikomen is only as long as you can eat the afikomen. The moment the clock hits that you can't eat the afikomen, the prohibition of eating after the afikomen falls away. This was one of the issues Rav Moshe had with this cheshbon of the Avnei Nezer. The Brisker Rav loved this Avnei Nezer. Well, he holds the issur to eat after chatzos. The issur to eat after the afikomen is only as long as you could eat an afikomen, which means you could eat the afikomen until 12 o'clock. I ate mine at 11 o'clock, so from 11 to 12, I'm not allowed to eat anything else. But once 12 o'clock hits, and I can no longer eat an afikomen, now I can eat whatever I want. That's how he fixes the problem. That's part of the Avnei Nezer's cheshbon. Some Achrayim loved the Avnei Nezer, Rav Moshe was very much against it.
What
is it called afikomen at that point? What? You already ate it. You ate it before. Right, so according to him, at 2 o'clock in the morning, you can eat ice cream. You can eat whatever. You can eat whatever you want. Rav Moshe did not hold of this Avnei Nezer. Very clear, and Rav Moshe held in a tshuva, Rav Moshe Hagad, that he held not to be samech on this Avnei Nezer, and make sure to finish Avikamim before Chatzis.
Isn't there a strong moment that the last thing you eat should be Avikamim?
Yeah, that's this halacha, but that's totally how you learn this halacha. It's a discussion on its own. It needs much more discussion. But many people seem to be saying mechanes Avnei Nezer. Yeshua Kamenetsky says that Reb Chaim Salvechik held like this Avnei Nezer, and he feels comfortable saying that you could be saying mechanes Avnei Nezer. So if you, I did this every year when I was by my in-laws Seder, I couldn't control the pace of things as much as I tried. I had to use Avnei Nezer tonight because that's what you have to do. But if you can change that, I think one should try to use the pace of the Seder the way they want it to go. What about drinking during the kaisis, between kais rishon and kais sheni? Right? A person makes kiddush, and then he has his long magid, and he finally gets the next cup. Can a person drink in between that time? So, the truth is an interesting halach in Shulchan Aruch. If you look in Shulchan Aruch over here, number 23, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Shaisa behaseba ve'enim avarach achrov. We don't make a bracha achreina after the first bracha, which is somewhat strange, because I drank wine, I don't wash, I drink wine, I'm not going to wash anytime soon, and yet I don't make a bracha achrayin on it. Why not? So the Paiskim say, because eventually you'll get to it in the other cups. But there's a long time that between the first cup and the second cup. The halach is you can only connect two parts if it's within 72 minutes. Most of us don't go less than 72 minutes between the first cup and the second cup. So Moshe Shtembach writes that those people that are makbid for this reason to have a very quick magid. Because they're worried about the 72 minutes in Bracha Achreina, so they'll make Kiddush, and they'll get to the second cup under 72 minutes. This way they can make it one big Achila, and they're good to go. It's a nice Chumrah. Cool, depends how you look at it. It's a Chumrah and a Kula. If you want to be, you know, if you want to push your Seder along, and you want to find some reason, you can be Semech and Moshe Shtemach. But the Bechaber says the next Halacha, Im Yirtza Lishtois, Kama Koyser, it's just Biyada. If you want to drink between the cups, no problem. You shouldn't drink between the first and the second, and Loy Litzayach Gadol. Unless it's very, very necessary. Why? Kadesh lo yishtake, we don't want you to get drunk. Now, you don't want the guy to confuse Pesach with Purim. He's drinking a very strong wine, and therefore he's going to have his first cup, and then he's going to say, wow, it's been a long day, let me have another cup. And before you know it, the guy never makes it to the rest of the Seder. So it sounds like from the Mechaber that the only problem is drinking an alcoholic beverage, because an alcoholic beverage is always a chash that you may never finish. Yeah?
I'm not talking about wine here.
Well, he's talking about something alcoholic, at least.
Yeah, but I mean, wine is a problem in about
places. Oh, good. So that's what we're going to see in a second. Now, if you look in the Torah, in number 27 over here, the Torah writes, "Im roitz elishtos afilu kama kaiser shus biyaday." But Dr. Avi Ezri, no. Any drink you want to have between the two cups, it's fine, as long as the bracha v'shoina won't be made on it. Because if you're going to make a new bracha v'shoina on it, then it looks like you're adding on to the kaisis. So it has to be something that doesn't need its own bracha v'shoina, or something that was covered by the bracha that you made initially. Now,
You have to have in mind
when you made your bracha v'shoina on the first cup to include this as well. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah writes explicitly.
A large cup and you drink enough to be yotzei in the cup.
Correct.
But you have leftovers. You keep drinking.
That's right. That would be okay in such a case according to this opinion. Now, the Mishnah Berurah says you're not supposed to drink too much because we're afraid you're going to get drunk. Says the Mishnah Berurah number 29, Mashma Dafki Yayin Asher Mashkim. Sounds like it's only an alcoholic beverage. But if you want to have a non-alcoholic drink between cup one and cup two, says the Mishnah Berurah, mutter lishtes bein ha-kaisis. Sounds like it's mutter. So it means a person wants to have a cup of coffee between kais one and kais two. Sounds like that's allowed. He wants. So that's the problem. What do you do with the bracha v'shoina? Is the bayi pri agafen going to include a coffee? How do you get around the problem of the aviyazi with the bracha? Right. It would be able to include it. That's only if A, it was around, and B, you had das. Yeah.
Just by a quick raise of hands, how many people did not daven
tomorrow again? We're almost done. So according to the Mishnah Berurah, it would sound like that you would be allowed to have a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, anything that's non-alcoholic, soda, between the two cups. Now, the Shulchan Aruch Rav makes it a little bit more complicated. The Shulchan Aruch Rav like this. When we call Mokom Motel Lishtis Leishar Mashkin, Avshu Be'inan Shetzarech Levarach Aleim, Shar Inan Nir Kemaisav Al Kaisin, Shari Had Al Kaisin, Hein Shal Yayin. He tiny, it's not going to be a problem if it looks like. Everyone knows, four cups are wine. I'm going to make it my shahakal and my salsa. What are you worried about? Who's going to think that you're adding on to the kaisis? However, he says, but, Ubi Mekoimish Shar Mashkin, Heim Chamar Medina, but if the drink you're choosing to drink happens to be Chamar Medina, although you're drinking wine for the four cups, then you can't drink it. So if you hold like the Shulchan Aruch Rav, and you hold coffee is Chamar Medina, then you can't drink a cup of coffee during the Seder. You don't, because even though you're not making even though it's a Baruch Hashayna, it's a Shakel, but it's something that you could technically use. Right, so if you hold it to Shulchan Aruch, there's a bunch of ifs over here. Soda, according to at least Rav Maisha, that it's not Chamar Medina, would be allowed. Right, so according to this, if you're going to drink, if you hold coffee as Chamar Medina, which I think most people accept that it probably is Chamar Medina. So therefore, you, according to this Shulchan Aruch Rav, you'd run into a problem.
You just have a negative kamana, that whatever I drink, then it's not
yeah, the problem is how it looks to others, the perception by others. How it looks, if someone sees you drinking in the middle of the, they go, it looks like you're drinking a kais, even though no one practically drinks coffee for their dal kaisis. Technically, if you hold this Chamar Medina, again, you'd have to probably wait for it to cool down. Because if it's too hot, you wouldn't be able to. Why not? If it's Chamar Medina for Kiddush, then it's Chamar Medina for Dal Kaisis. You should follow the same rules. Yeah, for Kiddush, Kiddush Abdal, yeah.
Are we talking between the first and the second?
Yes. Now you can drink whatever you want, yeah. Then the Paiskim say, we're not worried, because once you ate a meal, the meal will fill you up. You won't get drunk. But now you're on an empty stomach, the chance of something happening is much stronger. That depends. Many people were mocked with to use, you could use Chamar Medina when you don't have wine. Now, what does it mean not to have wine? That's the question. What does it mean not to have wine? So in the Chassidish communities, it became a very popular minhag. They would dafka use schnapps Shabbos day to bring out this halach. And that was the controversy. They would not only they would use Chamar Medina, they use schnapps, but they always also use a schnapps cup, which is not the sheer kais. That's why it was a controversial thing that many of the Chassidish poskim pushed for, which is what people do today anytime you go to a kiddush. And they do two things. They're making kiddush on Chamar Medina, and B, they're using a small cup, which is not correct. The better thing they do is they use two cups. I like that one. We spoke about this many times already. That's one of my things in Klal Yisrael. People use two cups at a kiddush because there's no real becher. So what they're doing is wasting two cups. But okay, in any case, but I just want to finish over here that there is an interesting shiloh over here that there's a big machloekis b'shem that Be'halacha quotes. When we say you're allowed to drink between cup one and cup two, where are we referring to? Some rishonim hold that once you pour cup two, although you're not drinking it, that's the beginning of the Haggadah. Now you're no longer allowed to drink. So even though you're allowed to drink between cup one and two, that's only during Orchatz and Karpas and all that. Once you're moizgin, just pour the cup. Then already you're not allowed to do any more eating and drinking. It's a big machloekis b'shem the be'halachas machmir, that the moment you pour the second cup, everything's out. Which means, l'fi zeh, we pour the second cup before we start magid. So before you start magid, you can't eat anyways. So Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky and both Reb Shmuel Mazalman both say, no. That's talking about wine. But non-alcoholic beverages, then you can eat without a problem. So if, let's say you have someone who's not feeling well, a pregnant person, someone who has a medical condition, and they are bad faster, right? That's what they talk about. Number 34 is Vayagid Moshe. He quotes that people that were bad fasted on Erev Pesach, which is, we don't hear about today, they used to have soup between cup one and cup two. Because soup is not a problem. Soup is just liquid with some vegetables, it's not a problem. So if someone's not feeling well, so some achrenim say, let's see if someone's not feeling well, and they can't make it till the end, they should take a rush to Seder. Don't waste your time, just rush, move everything along, and eat mitzi matzah properly. But others, hell no, you can eat little things along the way. You can have drinks a little along the way, you can eat some fruits and vegetables along the way, but it seems like from all the achrenim, it's only when it's a shasat chak. If you have options, it seems like that's not the preferred thing to do, but if a person has a medical condition, they're very, very hungry, they're very weak, they feel weak, in that case, they should try to eat something between cup number one and cup number two.